In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
Immediately before this parable was spoken, the Jews asked our Savior about his authority, and about and he responded and said, "If you tell me where John the Baptist came from, if he's from God or not, I will tell you by whose authority I say these things." And so this parable is spoken to, in part, to make the point about Christ's authority and that he came from the Father, and that he is unlike any other former prophet. And so many of the fathers of the church, such as Saint Cyril of Alexandria, Saint Ambrose, and others, have interpreted this parable of the vineyards in a classic way about salvation history, or about God's relationship with his people throughout the biblical narrative. And so, as many of you understand, the vineyards is the people of Israel. The vine dressers, or as it says here, that it was leased to the vine dressers, these are the leaders of the people. The leaders of the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament. God sends a number of people to remind them of their responsibility, and that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. So these people are the prophets, the righteous men of the Old Testament that were sent to the people of Israel. And finally, it says, when they had beaten and shamefully treated everyone that was sent to them, the owner of the vineyard, that is God, sends his son. He says, "What shall I do? I will send my beloved son, because probably they will respect him when they see him." Of course, his son is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so the allegory of the vineyard is applicable to salvation history, to the people of Israel. But of course, for us, it's an allegory of the church. We are the vineyard. Christ is the owner of that vineyard. Then he says elsewhere in the Gospel of St. John, "I am the true vine," that is Christ, "and my Father is the vine dresser." So he's the one that cares for the vineyard, that is us, the church, and prunes it, cuts away the bad branches, does everything possible to allow that vineyard to fructify and to bear forth good fruit for him to partake of. One of the fathers of the church, I believe it was St. Ambrose, also said that the Holy Spirit is the water that waters that vineyard and gives it the proper environment in which to grow. So the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son are all involved in our salvation and in our growth. Today I want to meditate on this passage in two brief ways. The vineyard as the church, and the vineyard as our own soul. Each individual soul sitting here. The psalm that we pray today happens to also be one of the chants of the church. We never chant it here in this church. It takes quite a bit of time. And it says, it's Psalm 79, "O God of hosts, turn, look on us from heaven and behold, and visit this vine, and restore that which your right hand has planted." Now the question raises itself: if the church, that is us, if the church is the vineyard, and if God is the vine dresser, and God and Christ is the true vine, who are the vine dressers in this allegory? Who are the people that are entrusted in this parable to care for that vineyard, which is the church? Is it simply the bishops? Is it Pope Tawadros? Is it the Holy Synod? Is it the priests and the clergy of the church? Or is every one of us responsible in some measure as a vine dresser for caring for the vineyards, caring for the church, and doing our part to allow it to grow and to fructify? Of course it is. The previous week, the talk throughout the whole church and the media was the violent end of life of His Grace Bishop Epiphanius, who was the abbot of St. Macarius' monastery, one of the oldest monasteries of our church. And observing the reaction of the community the past week to this violent event, there are two kinds of reactions that you see. Those who abuse Arabic Christian Coptic media, and I mean abuse in the proper sense, because it's almost like drugs. And those who are able to read Arabic, and they indulge in all kinds of conspiracy theories. They indulge in all kinds of gossip and tantalizing tales about what could have happened in this holy place that is St. Macarius Monastery, and that could have led to the violent end of life, the death of an abbot of a monastery. And then there's the other reaction that is completely unaware of what took place. People that are unable to read Arabic, perhaps, or unconcerned about affairs of the church in Egypt, or perhaps they don't feel that we are indeed one church, that we are indeed one vineyard. But nowhere in this entire spectrum of reactions was it asked, what is our responsibility as people far removed from the event, as people living in the so-called diaspora in the United States? What is our responsibility for the future? How does this impact us? And what has led to this violent event in the vineyard, that a branch would be destroyed and violently taken out when it was a very fruitful branch in the church? Now you see in this parable that the deliberation that took place in the minds of the vine dressers, they saw him coming, they saw the heir coming, and they said, oh, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. St. Cyril of Alexandria comments on how foolish this mind process was, this process of thought, because they would have inherited legally had they been honest, diligent vine dressers. They would have partaken of the fruit of the vine at the due time. But instead, they wanted to inherit something illegally at the wrong time, in an illegal kind of manner, by killing the proper heir. Rumors abound about the event that took place last week, and it seems to point in the direction of a very young monk. He's actually my age, who's been a monk for the past 11 years. So a very young person. Now what took place is a lesson for us, because it's an exaggerated example of what could happen when all of us partake in similar, although not as violent, prideful ambition. Violent and rapacious and illegal ambition for things that don't belong to us. Wishing to cut corners, for example. Or desiring to abide by the obedience that is asked of us, but simply wishing to grab something that doesn't belong to us. This monk is supposedly wanted to create his own monastery, and there are stories that he was completely disobedient for the past 10 years and didn't wish to abide by the rules of the monastic community, and he was on the verge of being defrocked, but when that didn't take place because of his tears of repentance, he remained, and they allowed him to remain in the monastery. But however, it seemed that the repentance was insincere, and he wished to inflict revenge upon the abbot that almost defrocked him. And so we can think about it as a tantalizing story, an exotic story that's all the way from the land of Egypt, and we can hear about it in the news, or we can reflect on this through the lens of the church as the vineyard, that we're all part of this story. We're all branches in this church, and we're all asked to render fruit as proper branches in God's vineyard. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we teaching our children from day one about ambition, about obedience, about humility, so that they don't grow to kind of look forward to grasping after things that don't belong to them at the improper time? Now, spiritually, of course, the vineyard is our own individual souls. And God desires the fruit of our souls. And it says here, now at vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that they might give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. The owner of the vineyard was not simply interested in fruit as an economic thing to sell and buy. He was interested in the fruit of the vineyard for himself. He desired our fruit, and it is us, the branches, who are entrusted with this responsibility, delivering fruit to our Savior, to our Lord, And he rejoices when he sees us delivering that fruit. Now, in the other allegory that we are familiar with in the Gospel of St. John, where he says, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. He says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Pruning is a process of cutting, and it causes pain. Whenever you desire to rid yourself of something that is stopping your growth, it is going to be painful. We are so accustomed in our life now not to decrease, not to cut things away, but to increase ourselves, to enlarge ourselves, to add to our possessions, to add to our experiences, to add whatever it is we feel will make us larger, better, more important, or more interesting. But almost no one teaches anymore the value of ridding ourselves of that which is stopping us, that which is preventing our growth, which is exactly what pruning is, when you cut part of the branch to allow it to grow. Let me tell you about getting rid of stuff. The last 3 weeks, we've been living out of suitcases. We've left our house in New Haven, and we've managed to fit everything of value to us in our Honda CR-V and hit the road. I'm not saying this to brag or to say that we have very few possessions or that we are able to get rid of possessions that we don't need. I'm simply saying that you really are put in this situation when you have to fit things in a small space. And now we're living out of two suitcases in Virginia and two carry-ons here in Downey. So pray that God give you that opportunity, that grace of having to cut down your possessions. But not just your possessions, not things, objects you can touch, but also objects that are within you. Things that are in you, that you hold on to, that you feel are the possessions that make you who you are, deep down. And when you find those, and find that they are no good, and be able to get rid of them, that's pruning. Sometimes pruning is painful, such as disease. My family also in the past month, we've had a number of medical situations with Marianne, and you all know the story. We've been in the hospital a number of times, and she's had quite a good recovery by God's grace. Now experiences like that are also part of how God prunes our lives. She literally got pruned. She got her colon removed. But it pruned our life in a way because it brought us together. It forced us to look at what is important and to be loving with one another in a different way than has been before. To be more sacrificial, to put our own egos behind. And so that's the type of pruning that our Lord gives us as a gift for our individual soil that is our vineyard. And so in this season of the Fast of St. Mary, we call the Virgin St. Mary in the Agbeya, you are the true vine that bore the branch of life, or the fruit of life. Of course, the fruit of life is Christ Himself, and that's why we can call our Virgin also, our Virgin Lady, the true vine that bore the branch of life. Although in the Gospel it says that Christ is the true vine. It is a wonderful thing to belong to the vineyard of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing and gives us hope, and it gives us joy to belong to God's family, to His church, to His vineyard, to be in the same tree as Him. I'm bringing to mind now a very famous Byzantine icon of the vineyard, where Christ is literally placed in the middle of a tree, and the branches of this tree is branching out in all directions, and you see icons of the prophets and the apostles and the various saints as a visual representation of the parable that we just prayed today about the vineyard being the church. And so it's a beautiful thing, and it should give us lots of hope and lots of joy that we belong to this beautiful vineyard, this divine tree that is Christ, and that we are branches in Him, and that we have this opportunity to prune ourselves in order, for what purpose finally? To bear fruit that our Lord desires from us. But let us take the opportunity in this fast to reflect on Saint Mary as the true vine, her obedience, her submission to the Lord, her willingness to do all what she can to be obedient to Him, and not to transgress His commandments in any way. Last week I was at a church across the country in which the servant who was giving the sermon, wishing to inculcate in the congregation the value of obedience, said that, look, Saint Mary obeyed the Lord, and because she obeyed one time, she received all these blessings afterwards. That's why we call her blessed today, and we hymn her with all the praises that we have in our church. That is true, but it's very limited. The Virgin Lady Saint Mary did not simply receive blessings for the rest of her life after obeying once. Her entire life was full of hardship. She had to leave her country. She had to go to a foreign land in Egypt. She was pregnant without being married, something that is very shameful in her community and remains so in most communities, thank God. And she saw her son grow to be an adult. That is, she knew him to be the Lord, but she knew him also to be hated by the Jews, and that they are plotting to kill him, and that he's saying things that could potentially get him in trouble with the authorities. She saw all of this unfold before her, and although she knew the divine plan, she also had the natural compassion of a mother to her son. So her life was not simply a series of blessings following one act of obedience. And so in this fast also, we are called to call that in mind, and to think of Saint Mary as the true vine who obediently, humbly submitted to the Lord, pruned herself of all her ambitions for herself from a very young age, and chose to be a fruitful branch in God's vineyard. May God grant us likewise to be humble, to be obedient, and to be the beautiful branches in God's vineyard to return beautiful fruit to our Savior 30 and 60 and 100-fold. To Him be glory now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.